Any comments? This morning, we'll be discussing about the universal form of the Lord. Very nice topic early in the morning. Praying that fresh and ready for anything. Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text Number 25 to 28. We'll make reference also to Chapter 5, Text 35 and 36. So, nice morning question for you all. When you think of the universal form of the Lord, besides that's the title of chapters 11 and above the Gita, what else do you think of? When you think of the universal form, what comes to mind? What can you say about the universal form of the Lord?
Lord is all pervasive, pervasive that form is not, so we cannot have loving relationship with that.
Okay, the form of the Lord is all pervasive. And second is, we're unable to have a loving relationship with that form. Anyone else?
I think there is a real Christian.
Can you say a little bit more than what you just said?
Because everything is resting on Him,
okay.
But we cannot be able to process this understand fully.
Everything is resting upon Him, but we're not able to understand it fully. And how does that relate to the Granth Rupa Purusha? Question, I'm just asking you to explain yourself. You'd like to help?
I'm feeling someplace behind us and in this written that mountains are like the boats of the Lord and the oceans are like the boats and so on. So at least when we see this, we sometimes understood that how powerful is the Lord and we have the access and how great is the Lord, we have the access to worship and so on to the way of the teacher.
Okay. The Virat Rupa helps us appreciate the greatness of the Lord. By seeing great things in nature in relation to the Lord, and in fact, the body of the Lord. Something over here?
I'm not sure. Virat Rupa is not the eternal form of the second form.
Okay. Virat Rupa is not an eternal form of the Lord, but a temporary form of the Lord.
We can have remembrance, like generally we are too much absorbed in the materialistic consciousness. But like the 10th chapter or 11th chapter say that while taking water also we can remember God. And so maybe so that way, like remembrance can be easier.
Remembrance can be easier. This is now from chapter 10. Okay. Right? Chapter 10 where there's opulence in the sense of the Lord, you can think of the Lord by appreciating the opulences that He manifests. And then similarly, you want to connect that to the Virat Rupa. You don't want to. You don't want to get the wrong answer. It's the main thing. Is there a similarly related to the Virat Rupa? And what is that?
Everything great Lord is, like said Lord is now, Aditya Nama, so all these things. So in everything greatness, Lord is
That's the different chapter. That's chapter 10. That's chapter 10. That was chapter 11.
Lord is saying that I'm the time I came to devour all living bodies.
That's chapter 10. And that's chapter 11. Which is it? You're speechless. Any help over here?
Is universal form helps us to remember the Lord means by seeing the different things like sun and moon, means we can actually feel, means we can remember the God, we can become to see God, and so by remembering it, it is improving.
Okay. You're in for a few surprises here. First let me state that this first text, the purport of text 29, here's what Prabhupada writes. The description of the gigantic form of the Personality of Godhead, made in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is further explained here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The description in the Bhagavad Gita, 11:30, runs as follows. O Vishnu, this is Arjuna speaking as you see in the universal form. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people in your blazing mouths, covering all the universe by your immeasurable rays, scorching the worlds, you are manifest. That's what it says in Bhagavad Gita. Now in text 29, the translation reads, his arms are the demigods headed by Indra. The ten directional sides are his ears, and physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two Ashvini Kumaras, and material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. So, there's the demigods, there's the ten directions. The ten directions are his ears. Physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the Ashvini Kumaras. The material fragrance is his sense of smell. So there's the instrument of perception and there's the object of perception. The idea here is before there can be smelling, the Lord has to smell. Before there can be hearing, the Lord has to hear. That's meaning that comes in. That's described in the fourth chapter. This is chapter 1. His mouth is the blazing fire. In this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study for the student of the Bhagavad Gita. Both of them are the signs of Krishna, the Absolute Truth, and so they are interdependent. So, Virat Rupa is one of the forms of the Lord, as described in Bhagavad Gita, and similarly being described here in chapter 1:25-28 is what we're discussing. So I'll go back Just read the texts 23 and 24. Shukadeva Swami is speaking. One should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayama, and thus control the mind and senses. And with intelligence applied to mind to the close potencies of the Lord, called the Dhara Rupa. Two things. The Dhara Rupa is to be meditated upon in conjunction with the Ashtanga Yoga system, with the control of the mind, with the control of the senses, with the control of the life air, fixing the mind by directing the mind with the intelligence upon this universal form. And the second part is the universal form is the manifestation of the Lord's gross potencies, as opposed to the manifestation of the Lord through this internal potency. He is manifesting his external form, his gross potencies. That's what the universal form is. It's the sum total of the cosmic manifestation in one place at one time, which is quite overwhelming. When we experience some part of the cosmic manifestation, it can be overwhelming. But to speak of the totality of the cosmic manifestation in one place at one time, that's overwhelming. That's what the universal form is. What's the purpose of this Virat Rupa meditation? It's the ultimate aim is God realization. So when the mind is grossly materialistic, by mechanical processes withdrawn from chasing after objects of sense enjoyment and reposed upon the gross potencies of the Lord. Prabhupada writes, as soon as the potencies are understood to be the instrumental manifestations of the transcendence, one automatically advances to the next step. That is, upon transcendence. So it's in a step to approach transcendence. Now the impersonals have their idea of what transcendence is, and the devotees have a very different idea of what transcendence is. But both have that idea. It's to assist us to appreciate that these manifestations are instruments of the Supreme, much like what you all were saying. Text 24. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth. No, the personal body. Meaning manifested in the material elements. So it is a form of the Lord, although, as you said, it's temporary. It is a form of the Lord. It's one of the Lord's forms. We would not have this cosmic manifestation without first having the universal form of the Lord. We would not be able to hear or smell or taste without the universal form of the Lord, hearing, smelling, tasting. So, wherein the universal result of past, present, and future, until time is experienced. Through this universal form, one can experience temporal time, material time, without which one cannot experience material time. Because material time requires, material events require time. If you don't have time, you don't have events. You can't experience anything. You're just in this suspended state. Prabhupada says something very interesting in the purport, that the phenomenal manifestation of the gigantic universe is only a part of his virat body. It's very technical, so, but it's, you know, morning time. The Supreme Lord is all spiritual. And for the sake of the conditioned souls who want to enjoy apart from him, he makes all these arrangements. So many arrangements. This second canto is filled with various perspectives on the arrangement the Lord makes to satisfy the desires of the conditioned soul. How we can understand this material world. And how we can understand the compassion of the Supreme Lord. Makes so many arrangements. They're completely superfluous. They're not at all necessary for him. But for us, he does. It's like, you know, a loving parent that does so many things to accommodate their children. It has nothing to do with anything that's related to them. It's just that their children, you know, have all these little desires, and so they make all these arrangements. Here's chapter 5, text 35-36. The Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe and assumed the Virat loop with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, heads, etc. So, he's in the causal ocean, he expands the seeds of the universe, and then he expands himself. Here it says he came out of the causal ocean. He enters as Hiranyagarbha or Garbhadaksha Vishnu into each universe, and then assumes the Virat Roop. What is this Virat Roop that he assumes? Material, as the universes themselves are material. This is the whole totality of, inside the shell of the universe, it's the totality of everything that the universe is made up of, the universal form. So we will find, as this description unfolds, there's a vertical dimension of the universe, the lower planets and middle planets and upper planets, divisions of 3, sometimes divisions of 14, and the divisions of 3 and the divisions of 14 are representative parts of his universal form, the soles of his feet and the toes and the ankles and the calves of his body and his waist. Calves, what are these? He says they're shanks, he uses that word. The waist, the chest, shoulders, the neck, this goes up the body. So there are some very old style renderings of the universal form that show the planetary systems, and then there's another perspective on this, that the parts of the body of the Lord, like, you know, his eyes, his nose, like this little section of it, his mouth, and he said that it's the demigods, and the act of perceiving through those form that form the universal Virat Roop to allow the living entity so that they can enjoy independent enjoyment. In another perspective, the brahmanas are his head, the kshatriyas are his arms, the vaishyas are his waist and belly, and the shudras are his legs. In another perspective, it's just the divisions of society, the divisions of the planets, the demigods that are controlling the sensual powers of the living beings, and the objects that they can perceive. All of that is manifest. That's all of those things constitute, not one of those things, but all of those things constitute the universal form. Great philosophers, this is text 36 of chapter 5. Great philosophers imagine that the complete planetary systems in the universe are displays of the different upper and lower limbs of the universal body of the Lord. So, Samkhya Prabhupada comments, this universal form is sometimes called imaginary. Now, it's not imaginary in the literal sense any more than it's false, because imaginary is literally false. Like if you imagine water in the desert, that's imagination, that's illusory. But it's imaginary in the sense that it's temporary. It's now you see it, now you don't. In that sense. Although the universal form, as imagined by the great philosophers, is one of the features of the Lord, it is more or less imaginary. It is said that the seven upper planetary systems are situated above the waist of the universal form, whereas the lower planetary systems are situated below his waist. The idea impressed herein is that the Supreme Lord is conscious of every part of his body, and no one in creation is anything beyond his control. So, that's just to give us some idea of what Hiradhyoga is. Complex, as the universe is complex. So where is this universal form situated? It's situated within the shell that has its seven coverings. Inside the seven coverings, the Supreme Lord, we read from chapter 5, he gets out of the causal ocean, he expands himself as Arani Garga or Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and then he manifests his universal form, he manifests everything within the universe. It's not it's subtle, just like seeing the universal form that Arjuna saw on the Kurukshetra battlefield. Arjuna asked to see it, the Lord manifested. He asked the Lord to withdraw it, the Lord withdrew it. It's something like a hologram, you know. It's a form, but it's subtle. It's a form of the Lord. But now you see it, now you don't. There's the universe, now you see it, now you don't. It's not sat. It's asat. But it's a form of the Lord. The gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by seven forms of material elements, is the subject of the Virat conception. So, Prabhupada explains, There's been sequence, it's very logical, step by step. The form, the Lord is all spiritual, he manifests through his internal potency, his Atmanic potency, unlimited spiritual forms. And while he does so, he's not diminishing or depleting himself by those expansions. Om Purnamata Purnamitam. He's this complete whole. He's not only the complete whole in that sense, but then Prabhupada goes on that according to Vishnu Purana, he has unlimited potencies and he manifests those unlimited potencies also. So, as explained in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a purpose behind the universal form, and that is just to convince the less intelligent class of men who, when regarding the spiritual forms of the Lord, think, oh, they're material. Like me, material. So I can also become God. So to show that they're not material like they are material, the universal form is disclosed. Let such a person claim to be God, display his universal form. And we can challenge like that. I met one student at University of America, you see the thing. You know, he had just read some book. Some American kid. I'm God and you're God. I said, I'm not God and you're not God either. I challenge you, you show me your universal form. he didn't have to, he was caught off guard, he didn't know what to say. Someone, Jayadvaita Maharaj, told me he spoke like that, and someone said, I would, but you don't have the eyes to see. Well, if you're God, then you can give me the eyes to see. Then I can see the universal form. You don't have the qualification to receive the eyes to see. Because you're challenging. Arjuna was not challenging. He was very clear to Krishna. Just to convince that, so there's two sides of the making of things here, that there's mercy, and there's mercy, and there's mercy. So mercy for the worldly person that wants to enjoy the universal form is manifest so that they can enjoy it. The universal form is manifest for the atheist so that they can become theistic. Wow, look at that universal form. That's real cool. That's really like not an ordinary person, but that must be God. Even he may appear in a human-like form. So that's another thing. People that say, oh, why did Krishna dance with the gopis? He's God. He's saying, oh, why did Krishna manifest the universal form? He's God. You can't manifest the universal form, nor can you perform rasa dance. Because for you, rasa dance is simple. Enjoying with many women like that. But for Krishna, it's his own potency. He says that he manifested the universal form. It's displaying his own potency. The thing Lord is one by a second, there's no rival, no equal, and no superior. Then Prabhupada discusses how materialistic men, their thinking capacity is limited. They look in the sky and then see the bowl of the sky over them. And they don't have information of the whole universe, you know, this kind of purport the Prabhupada has. What to speak of the unlimited thousands and thousands and thousands, millions of universes, each of which has, as the verse describes, this sevenfold covering, and inside the sevenfold covering there's this vast space. They hardly know the dimension of this one universe, and all these, so many universes, they're pumped up like footballs floating on the causal ocean. What information do the Machovas have of this phenomenon? And the universes are coming from the breathing of Mahavishnu, and as he inhales, all of that, all those footballs, all those universes just again vanish within his body, and again they're manifested. And the whole arrangement of making all these universes with the universal form inside each one, so that the whole structure is clearly understood even before it happens, in a subtle form, it's manifested. So, the Virat Rupa was particularly exhibited by the Lord just to give lessons to foolish men, so that one cannot accept as an incarnation of God someone unless they can exhibit this universal form. Any cautions? What's the positive, another positive purpose? Someone that doesn't have a clear conception of God, they can meditate like this, as is being recommended in this first chapter. They can meditate on God as this form of the universe. But then he cautions, he mustn't be on his guard not to be misled by pretenders who claim to be the identical person as Lord Krishna, but who are not able to act like him or exhibit Virat Rupa, comprehending the whole of the universe. Prabhupada calls it for revival incarnation. There's no rival. Although a person's claim, I am Vishnu. Now, 26, 27, and 28 cover one of the features of the vertical dimension feature of the universal form. And that is seven lower, seven upper planetary systems. Does anybody know what they are? Going down or going up? Going down from where we are. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tathala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Tathala. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Tathala, Mahatala, Rasatala, Tathala. Jana, Tapa, Satya. Let's go down. Atala, Nitala, Sutala, Tatapala, Mahapala, Vasapala, Tatala. Bhur, Bhuvan, Sar, Mahar, Jana, Tapa, Satya. The verse reads, persons who have realized it, yet is the unity have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the universal Lord, and the heels and toes, the heels and toes are the Rasatala, the ankles are the Mahatala, and the shanks constitute the Talatala planets. Prabhupada's purport. Outside the bodily existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic existence has no reality. Or there's no void in the creation of the Lord. There's another way of saying the same thing, Prabhupada says. What is there that's outside of the bodily existence of the Personality of Godhead? There isn't something, but it has no reality. Stated the opposite way. Everything and anything of the manifested world rests on him. One of you said that earlier. Who said that? Everything rests on him. But that does not imply that everything and anything in the vision of the materialist is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that exists is an emanation from him. That doesn't mean everything is God. But because he has his different potencies, his material potencies, and that's not God. But it's godly, it's of God. So this form is a form of God. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. But the materialist must know for certain that his visualization of the world and a spirit of lording over is not God revelation. So he goes the other direction and says, this meditation must be combined with service attitude. He must cultivate the service attitude. Unless the service attitude is refined, the conception of Dirat realization will have very little effect on the seer. Nice point. It's not a mechanical. I mean, people may take it up mechanically, but it doesn't have any spiritual effect. What is the spiritual effect if there's a mood of wishing to serve the Lord, and then can gather this impression, literally meditating upon the universal form, as mentioned previously, to get the impression of this is an instrument of a transcendental Lord. He manifests this Virat Rupa, and then he withdraws this Virat Rupa. He is the transcendental Lord. It's like, you know, the soul within the body. You can just look at the body and think that's all and all, but there's an animating feature to the body, that's the soul. The Supreme Lord has his universal form, which is manifest and then not manifest by his will, certainly different than our manifesting bodies. The transcendental Lord, in any conception of his form, is never a part of the material creation. He keeps his identity as the Supreme Spirit in all circumstances and is never affected by the three qualities. For everything material is contaminated, the Lord always exists in his internal focus. As mentioned previously, by his Atmanaya focus, he manifests spiritual forms, but he also manifests this one. It is a display of his energies, or one part of his energies, his material energies, his separate energies. And it has form. And here we're getting some description. The knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutala. The two thighs are Pitala and Natala planetary system. The hips are Mahitala. So now we're going up. And outer space, the depression of his navel, now we're going above that to Maharloka, Jamaloka, and Tapaloka, and then Satyaloka. The chest of the original personality, of the gigantic form, is the luminary planetary system. The Prabhupada explains that. Luminary planetary system. The effulgent luminary planets, like the Sun and the Moon, are situated almost in the mid-place of the universe, and as such they are to be known as the chest of the original gigantic form of the Lord. And above the luminary planets, called also the heavenly places of the universal directorate, demigods. The luminary planets means the Saksatiloka, and just below that, illumined by some places where the light of the sun and the moon give illumination. Above that, our Maharloka, Chandraloka, and Tapaloka planetary systems. And above all, the Satyaloka planetary system, wherein the chief directors of the modes of material nature reside. Did you know that? Where not only where Brahma resides in Satyaloka, but here is stated that Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva reside in this Satyaloka region in the universe. So, where does Vishnu reside in this universe? Which planet? Svetadvipa. That's the Svetadvipa is the island in the middle of the Milky Ocean, and the Svetadvipa island in the middle of the ocean is in the pole star. And that's in the northernmost part of the universe, yes? So this Vishnu is known as Shivadaksha Vishnu, and he acts as the super soul in every living being. There are innumerable universes floating on the causal ocean, and each one of them, the representation of the Virat, form of the Lord, is there along with innumerable suns, moons, heavenly demigods, Brahmas, Vishnus, and Shivas, and all of them situated in one part of the inconceivable potency of the Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 1042. What is that phrase?
Please, like, just play with one fragment.
Yeah. You know the Sanskrit? By just, but my dear Arjun, what is the use of all of this description? For by that a spark of my splendor, a pervading support, this entire universe. Ekam Sena Stito Jagat. Ekam Sena Angsam. Angsena is a part. Stito Jagat. I am just this whole universe. I pervade and support this whole universe. With but a fragment of myself. The rest of the verse. The neck is the Mahar planets, the mouth is the Janas planets, the forehead is the Tapas planetary system, the topmost planetary system known as Satyaloka is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. So then the 1,000 heads is, you know, this, like the Purusha Sukta prayers, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasra Shirsha Sahasra Pa. It's describing from the Purusha avatar, this form of the universe is manifest. And in the Purusha Sukta prayers, it describes very similar to what we're hearing here. It described, you know, the, from his arms come the Kshatriyas and head from the Brahmanas and Vaishyas and Shudras. And then there are various duties assigned by the Prajapatis and Manos, so forth. It's complicated. It gets more complicated. Because that part was easy, just like the, you know, the 7 and the 7 is 14, but it's not over yet. His arms, so we read this, his arms are the demigods, headed by Indra. The 10 directional sides are his ears. And physical sound is his sense of hearing. His nostrils are the two Ashwini Kumaras, and the material fragrance is his sense of smell. His mouth is the blazing fire. Just read this last report, text 29. See, we have some discussion on this. The conception of Viraparupa, the gigantic form of the Supreme Lord, is said to include all the dominating demigods, as well as all the dominated living beings. Even the minutest part of a living being is controlled by the empowered agency of the Lord, since the demigods are included in the gigantic form of the Lord. Worship of the Lord, whether in his gigantic material conception or in his eternal transcendental form as Lord Sri Krishna, also appeases the demigods and all other parts and parcels, as much as watering the root of a tree distributes energy to all of the tree's other parts. Consequently, for materialists also, worship of the universal gigantic form of the Lord leads one to the right path. One need not risk being misled by approaching any demigods for fulfillment of different desires. The real entity is the Lord Himself, and all others are imaginary. Everything is included in Him only. So, just comment that this very same description of the planetary systems from the upper and lower seven. It's almost verbatim in chapter 5. So this is not a light topic. It may be not easy to understand. But why is it twice in the second canto? It must have some importance, yeah? So starting with text 38, the lower planetary systems, up to the limit of the earthly stratum, are said to be situated on his legs. Middle planetary systems, beginning from Bhuvarloka, are situated on his navel. And still higher planetary systems, occupied by the demigods, and highly cultured sages and saints, are situated in the chest of the Supreme Lord. From the forefront of the chest, up to the neck of the universal form of the Lord, is situated the planetary systems known as Janaloka and Kapaloka. For his Satyaloka, Tama's planetary system is situated in the head of the form of the Lord. The spiritual planets, however, are eternal. And the next two verses go down. Atala, situated in the waist. Second, Vitala, situated in the thighs. Third, Sutala, on the knees. Fourth, Tatlatala, the shanks. Fifth, Mahatala, ankles. Sixth, Rasatala, upper portion of the feet. Seventh, Patala, the soles of the feet. Thus the Virat form of the Lord is full of all planetary systems. So that's just like this one, you know, the vertical dimension. And then there's all these other things about the demigods and the energies that the demigods control manifested by the universal form. It's in chapter 1 and it's again in chapter 5. Although in chapter 2, Shukadeva Goswami has said, you can give that up. And Hermes says it in chapter 3. One can give that up. But he mentions it again in chapter 5. He mentions it again in chapter 5 because Maharaj Pariksit has asked to describe how does the Lord, I know that the Lord, I accept and I know it, that the Lord performs the process, does the process of creation, but how does he do it? So this is how he does it. So it's this is an imaginary form in the sense that it's temporary, but not imaginary in an absolute sense, any more than we would say that matter doesn't exist. We don't say that jagat mithya. It's false. It doesn't exist. There's only one thing, it's Brahman. That's not our teaching. It's, the energies are real, and the configuration is temporary. And as is this virabhuva, it's a temporary form, but one can, if properly guided, one can meditate on the temporary form of the universe and reach the Supreme Personality through service, attitude, and attitude. Okay, all very clear, right? Anyway. I'm going to save these verses for when I come back. We'll continue where we left off. Just to enlighten all of you. I'll cover all the other things in other places as I'm traveling. Keep this nectar for you guys. It's important. Therefore, it's in the second canto twice. But it's not easy to understand. It's a preliminary stage. And it has to do with the process of creation. So, discussion?
When we invite the people, so we understand that we have so much greater conception of God and so on, in so many ways. So there are two things which come to this. One is that we understand our resources, we want to, that we have access to the teachings. So it becomes a gratitude that we also have to give up the instructions more and more. And also the second thing that it requires, we have to do preaching also.
Have to do which also?
It's like, preaching also has to be done to the people. Preaching. Yeah, but that requires purity. So without purity, it's just speech. So, like, how do we balance things? And,
okay, that's an excellent balance. Because you don't stay home until you're pure. You don't stay at home until you're pure. When is that going to happen? And how is it going to happen? It's not exactly a balanced thing. It's one of the instructions that we receive, isn't it? And so there's purification that comes from following instructions. One of which is to take that material and share it with others in a palatable way. And that's what one experiences, is pure purification. One also experiences that all kinds of things that when you're in the circumstance and called upon to explain something, all kinds of examples and verses and, all kinds of things come. Isn't it? You've had that experience? It's amazing. Where did that come from? I wasn't thinking, but all of a sudden it came. So, the caution is not exactly balance, but it's more of a caution that, two cautions, that you don't speak way above your realization. Like, what do any of us understand about this virabhuva? Practically speaking, very little. Very little. And that's certainly not what we go and speak to people about either. But just as an example, We just repeat what we heard. Not precisely as a parent, but as much as you can understand, you repeat it. That's what I did at the very beginning, is ask you what you think of the rabbit, or what you think of it. And so we have nice, all of them are nice answers, but the one at the beginning was, everything rests upon Krishna. But we can't see that because it's inconceivable. That was a nice answer. So, now your specific question is, we have instructions, we have, and we're supposed to pray, we have preaching we're supposed to do, and how do we make a proper balance? That both are intended for purification. And doing one will help you do the other, and doing the other will help you do one. Help you to appreciate the value that you are receiving in nice instructions by trying to share Krishna consciousness with others. It's true. Is that? That's not exactly what you're asking. What's your name?
One thing which I have seen is that when we speak or when we speak to people about something wrong, one of the tendencies which comes is of recognition and the desire for recognition gets enhanced. The desire for recognition.
For which condition?
The desire for recognition. Because recognition tendency.
The desire for condition.
Recognition.
Recognition. Oh, okay.
So that is where I found that actually we have to be cautious because...
Yeah. Well, thinking oneself as the doer and wanting to recognize for what one has done is all a mode of passion. So stay home, right? And this mode of passion is staying at home. Then you'll get away with this by saying no. Like this other question about your academic work. So then go to your academic work. You know, the controlling doership mentality shows up there too. So, anticipate, knowing that there's this contamination, as you say, for recognition. Like when you're going, when you drive, okay. Sometimes in traffic, they have a recent mirror, they have yellow light, yellow flashing light. What does that mean? Caution. So when you're passing through that intersection, you're to slow down and be very careful, because it's not stop, but it's not go either, it's caution. Let's go, caution. When you're preaching, you know, you're in the yellow zone. Caution. It's actually all the time, not just for preaching. Beware of false ego. Something else? Yes?
Sir, when you are self-formed ignorance, you have without having service attitude.
Without having service attitude. One can, it's not exactly seen, it's become purified and also be benefited by. Let's say someone doesn't have a service attitude and they very carefully follow this dhyan yoga process and fix their mind upon the super soul, upon the universal form. They can do that. But they don't get the Prabhupada wrote, has no practical effect. It's okay. It's okay. Well, very little effect on the seer. Without service attitude, without the service attitude being revived. So what happens if they don't have the service attitude revived? The default mode is exploitation of the material resources. So you're meditating on the material resources. You're thinking how they can be enjoyed. So whether it's meditation in Virapupa or any other spiritual approach, that's the message that needs to be understood. Service. And mechanical process processes do not revive service mood. But bhakti does, and the association with those that have that service mood awakens our bhakti. So Shukadeva Goswami, partly what Prabhupada is doing is addressing this question, unspoken, but some people do speak it. Why Shukadeva? This is Shukadeva Goswami. Why is he advocating universal form meditation? And it's a merciful beginning for people that are very materialistic. They're not ready to, get up from Mangal Arati and worship Krishna. So they can they can do this other one. Anything else?
This Viratupal possessing powerful quality, it indicates the powerful quality of the Lord, or other qualities of the Lord are also highlighted.
Well, I've heard this twice now, and it's not the same as Vibhuti Yoga. What does Vibhuti mean? Chapter 10. What does Vibhuti mean? It's described in the first canto, chapter 3. What does Vibhuti mean? At the end of the list of the incarnations, it mentions also Vibhutis. It's special opulences of this world, those are called Vibhutis. And Vibhuti Yoga is meditating upon the Lord through the agency of His special opulences of this world. The Ratrup is not just His special opulences in this world. It's the whole constant manifestation. With parts of it, perhaps parts by part, but it's the whole constant manifestation. Not just His opulences. His excellences. Or whatever language people write. His abilities. Let's do your question again. Mm-hmm.
The other qualities, compassion.
Say a whole sentence, please.
The other qualities of the Lord, like compassion, and loving qualities. Other qualities, can you see? Mainly, you can see only opulences only in the Virat form.
You're doing this again. You're making chapter 10, chapter 11. Chapter 10 is not chapter 11. Chapter 10 is chapter 10. Chapter 11 is chapter 11. And the qualities of the Lord are fully spiritual, which is neither 10 or 11. He has 20, there's 64 qualities. One of them is compassion. Those are spiritual. And when he manifests those qualities, it's fully spiritual. He manifests his feature of compassion by manifesting the cosmic creation. Because living entities desire to enjoy independent from him. Even they're insulting, ignoring, nasty, rude. He's compassionate. He makes an arrangement for them so they can try to enjoy it. and tried to build into it, into the system as a way to correct them. That's his compassion. That's spiritual. His activities are all spiritual, even his activity of creating. Exercise for college students, especially appreciating the universal form, because you can't, it's not by mental speculation, you can just go wrap your mind around the universal form. It doesn't happen like that. Virat-rupa, so it's these two things. Virat-rupa is simultaneously a challenge to the atheist. We discussed that. And a favor for the asuras. Because they don't have the capacity to conceive of the Lord, so he makes it easy for them. Well, think of me in this way. So the asuras who can think of the Lord as Virat, and thus gradually cleanse the dirty things from their hearts in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of the Lord in the near future. Thus, the Virat-rupa is the favor of the all-merciful Lord to the atheists and to the gross materialists. Thus, when you think of the Virat-rupa, you can think like that. Favor for the atheists and mercy upon the asuras. It's also to favor an act of compassion so that the conditioned souls can have their little wrapper room. They can go play in the material world and try to enjoy it, because he creates that facility by expanding himself in this way. And providing the demigods to control all his energies and Brahma to put it all together and so forth. But to really get the benefit, though, one has to have the association of the devotee, like Sri Vidya Goswami, so that you can understand behind the Virata's this transcendental form of the Lord. After that purification takes place, then you don't know. No longer need this meditation. Paramatma meditation. And the Paramatma meditation follows the second chapter. Once one has understood that the transcendent Lord and he appears as Bhagavan, then just hear and chant, remember the pastime of the Lord, and this Paramatma meditation is not, in a formal sense, is not required. In an informal sense, one can appreciate Krishna's there. And follow the indications Krishna's given. Rather than the conditioned tendencies that the modes of nature are compelling us towards. Because it's a very kind and compassionate manifestation of Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.